Glad to see each and every one of you this morning, and we're certainly trusting in the Lord to be with us and lead us now as we continue in the worship service of the Lord. I've turned to a text that I want to take from the book of James. James chapter 1. I want to read three verses, and there's one particular thought from the second verse that I want to begin with this morning and trust the Lord in it. But these three verses in themselves could be preached to any number of subjects from them. They say so much, just these three short verses. It's chapter 1 of the book of James. We'll begin at verse 16 and read 16, 17, and 18. And primarily we'll want to take some thoughts from our text, which would be verse 17. It says in 16, "Do not err, my brethren, my beloved brethren, every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning." And then verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Those three verses. You know, we've gone through the Christmas season and we've enjoyed being with our families. We've exchanged gifts among one another, and those are good times and precious to us as we live together and enjoy life together. But this scripture speaks of more than just those gifts that we give to one another. Those gifts maybe aren't perfect, but this morning we want to talk about perfect gifts that come to us from God Himself. God Himself gives us these things, and they are perfect. They are perfect in that they are from a perfect God. They are perfect in that they tell us and assure us of a perfection of what we're headed for, even though we're all headed to the grave. We're all headed to pass from this earth, but yet we have the promise of eternal life, which God has promised before the world began. And these are wonderful things. But just to get down into some of the things these verses say. It says, I like verse 18, what it says. It's not my text, but let me just tell you about verse 18. If there's no other scripture that tells you that salvation is of the Lord and not of yourselves, it's this 18th verse of James chapter 1. Now let's just look at it and see it before we get into the thoughts of my original text, which is 17. But of his own will, of whose own will? The Father of lights, that's mentioned in verse 17. Of the will of the Father of lights, he says, of his own will begat he us. Not of our will, not of the will of the sinner, not of the will of the person seeking salvation, but of God's will, of the will of God, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And I like that that term there, the word of truth. Now the word of truth can be thought of in a number of ways. The word of truth can be the word of truth of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Also, the word of truth, we can analyze both of those words. Truth, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So Jesus is the truth. The word describes Jesus also. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is who is God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So that second person of the Godhead called the Word, that's the living Word, that's Jesus Christ. That's described for us in the Gospel of John, where he says, at the beginning there of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So listen to this scripture again with that knowledge that I just expressed to you. It is of his own will, that is the will of the Father of lights. It is of his own will that he begat us with the word of truth. With what? With Jesus Christ, with his shed blood. With Jesus Christ, he begat us. He born us again with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What a scripture. What a scripture that 18th verse is. But I want to deal with 17. I want to talk about those gifts. I want to talk about those good gifts. Those perfect gifts. Those gifts that are far more important to us than the gifts we received at this time of year from our family and our friends. Gifts that last through eternity. Gifts that mean something to us after this life is over. Gifts that carry us forever and forever. I want to talk about those gifts. And he says in verse 17, just reading it again, and every good gift and every perfect gift, good gifts and perfect gifts come from the Father of light. It says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, that cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now that's another subject that could be preached from this text. The fact that with God there's no variable, there's no shadow of turning. He's unchangeable. He is God, and beside him there is no other. Yes, indeed, a lot could be preached from this one text. But I want to deal with those good and perfect gifts that come to us from the God the Father of lights, that's seated there in heaven in immortal glory. Now we want to look at several things that the scripture described for us as gifts to us from God. Not only are they gifts to us from God, but they're good gifts. They're perfect gifts. They are gifts that we ought to be reading our Bible and rejoicing in each and every day of our lives, because they are indeed gifts that should mean more to us than anything else that we have in this world in which we live. And we want to begin with a scripture that is the most misused scripture that's ever been said. I can remember a time even watching a football game on TV. Somebody would hold up a sign that would say, John 3:16, that's all it would say. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get someone to make a decision for Christ that they might be born again. But this scripture does not tell you that this is a condition that you must do to be born again. This scripture tells you the fact that if you are a child of God and you do certain things, you have already been born again. God has already reached down and given you a good gift, a perfect gift. What was that gift? That gift was indeed His only begotten Son. Think of that. God loved you and me so much that He reached down and gave to us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's what this scripture is going to tell you. And we'll look at it here in John chapter 1, beginning at, John chapter 3, John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. And it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now I want to just deal with that 15th verse right now. 16 is the one we're looking for. What does it say in 15? "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now what that tells me is one that believes is one that has eternal life. It does not say, it does not in any way say that you must believe to receive eternal life. It says if you have eternal life, that's why you believe. You believe because you have already received from God the Father eternal life. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." He has already eternal life. And then he says, "For God so loved the world." Now this is what they hold up that sign for this scripture. "For God so loved the world." Now what world is he talking about there? He's talking about the world of the elect family of God. He's talking about the world of the family of God that God, before the world began, chose out of Adam's race and gave to His Son Jesus Christ to go to the cross and redeem on the cross, that they might be able to go to heaven in a perfect condition by the righteousness of Christ and Christ Himself. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Now that is quite a gift to give to a people your only begotten Son. Now I have two sons and I love each one of them equally, and I can tell you it would be hard for me to ever do anything to give my sons for someone else. You know, I might give my life for some of you here, but I don't know that I'd give either one of my sons for any of you. That is a hard thing to do, for God to give unto us His only begotten Son. But that's what He did. He gave us His only begotten Son for Him to take upon Himself a body of flesh from the Virgin Mary and come down to this earth and to go to the cross and redeem them from their sins and pay the price that we could not pay for ourselves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso, now listen to this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you see that again is a statement of fact that says anybody that believes, it's because they have been given eternal life. And it's not a condition to receive eternal life, but it's stating a condition of eternal life that you must have if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a gift, a great gift, a good gift, a perfect gift. God gave to us, little children, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, that's one of those good and perfect gifts that come to us from God the Father. Yes, he did. He gave us his only begotten Son. Now, continuing on in the Gospel of John, let's look at another gift that God has given to us. God has given to us the gift of living water. Living water, what are you talking about, Brother Heron? I'm talking about something different from this water that's in this glass right here. This water that's in this glass right here is natural water. This water that's in this glass is necessary. It's necessary for Brother Virgil to drink to nourish the body that he lives in. And Jesus had a body like that too. And he needed natural water. But Jesus gave us living water. Living water is different from natural water. Natural water sustains the body. Living water assures the soul of each person that hears the gospel that you're going to heaven, that you have a place that's eternal, that life doesn't end, that it continues on and on and on in a perfect condition. That's a great thought in itself. But in this particular portion of scripture found in the very next chapter here, in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus had been in a place called Judea. And when he got ready to leave Judea and he was going to Bethlehem, Jesus made this statement about that trip. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? Samaria was a place where, the Samarians, they were Jews, but they were kind of outcast Jews from the Orthodox Jews that lived in and around Jerusalem. But he was going to Samaria. And this proves beyond any shadow of a doubt in my mind, I trust it should in your mind, of the foreknowledge of God. Because Jesus knew exactly why he must go through Samaria. He knew it even before it occurred. He knew it before it even happened. He knew when he'd go to Samaria, there was a place there in Samaria that was called Jacob's Well. And he was going to Jacob's Well. Why? Was he thirsty and needed natural water for his body? No. He knew there'd be a woman coming there. He knew she would be coming there to draw water. And he wanted to tell her about living water. Living water. She had a hard time understanding it because she couldn't get her mind off of natural water. And so Jesus expressed it to her and told her about living water. And it's a gift to us from God. It's one of those good and perfect gifts that God has given to us, little children. We come here every week and we have these different ministers that come in here and preach for us. And we leave here. We're not thirsty. We've just been given living water. And we continue in it. And it's a water in which you'll never thirst, but you desire to hear it again and again and again and again. But it's not something that ends. It's not something that comes to a close. It's living water. And so let us read some of this that Jesus said when he said, I must needs go to Samaria. It says in verse 6 here, it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Jesus was asking her to give him a drink of natural water. And so when Jesus asked her that, she had questions about Jesus because she recognized that he was a Jew from Jerusalem. And the Jews from Jerusalem don't have anything to do with Samaritans. Why was he asking her to get him some water? Well, first of all, it says here that the disciples had gone into town to buy meat. And Jesus was there alone with the woman. So he asked her for a drink of water. Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, there it is, if thou knewest the gift of God, God's gifts are good, God's gifts are perfect. And he's telling her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. She was wondering about, what is this living water? The woman then said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then thou hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And I'll stop right there because I've been to Jacob's well. And I've drank a cup of water from Jacob's well. And I've been thirsty a many a time since then. So Jesus was not talking about that well water that the woman came to the well to draw from. That wasn't what he was talking about. He said, if you drink this water, you shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. What water is he talking about? He's talking the water of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to this earth, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood, and he cleansed us from all of our sins. Now, if that don't satisfy the spiritual soul, well, nothing satisfied. That's spiritual water. That's a gift from God. That's a good and a perfect gift to us from God, that we understand and have spiritual water. While I drank some of this natural water, and it's good, and it satisfies the body, it doesn't have anything to do with satisfying my soul that one day is, I hope, going to heaven and immortal glory. Jesus giving her living water. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And we have that. We have that living water that causes us, our souls, to spring up into everlasting life. To have the assurance that Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior to give us this living water, a good and perfect gift from God, living water. Now we want to continue on as we see these gifts that God has given to us as we travel here in this world. We'll see in this particular portion of scriptures found in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, God has given us the gift of grace. Grace, grace. Now, what is grace? Grace, I've heard defined this way. Grace is unmerited favor that is bestowed upon an undeserving individual. In other words, we receive it, we don't merit it, and we haven't done anything to get it or earn it. It's grace, unmerited favor bestowed upon an undeserving individual. That's grace. And God has given us the gift of grace, because God is a God of all grace. And this God, the Father of lights, has given us grace. Grace from God. Grace is to us a perfect and a good gift from God. We'll find here in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, we'll begin here at verse 12, it states several things here that can be preached as a subject, but it tells us about who we were. It tells us about the doctrine of original sin. It tells us about how we've been saved and what we've been saved from, and who saved us. Let us read it. It's found in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll begin at verse 12. He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, who is that 12th verse talking about? Who is that one man? That one man is Adam. And that one man passed unto us all sin. We were all born dead in trespasses and in sin. But as a result of Adam's transgression in the Garden of Eden. When Adam transgressed God's law, he passed unto all that came after him a state of death in trespasses and in sin. And that's what he's talking about in that 12th verse. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. In other words, for those first 2,000 years of the earth, before the law was given on Mount Sinai, men were living in sin all through all their years. But they didn't have any law to tell them it was sin. And then God sent the law. And when he sent the law, men knew by what the law said that they were sinners. But the law was not sent to save us. It wasn't sent that we might keep it and save ourselves. It was sent to show man that he is a sinner. Not only that, to show him even the most diligent of all of them could not save himself by the keeping of the law. He would somehow, some way, fall short of keeping the law. So the law was given, as the scripture describes for us in another place, as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. How could it bring us to Christ? It could show us that we can't save ourselves by the keeping of the law. So we must depend upon one who was able to keep the law. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The one gift that God gave, his only begotten Son, came down from heaven. And when he came down from heaven, he kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. And when he died on the cross, he had a perfect life. And his righteousness is imputed to every single child of God that's born again of the Spirit of God. We don't go to heaven by our own works. We don't go to heaven by our own doings. We don't go to heaven by our own righteousness. But we'll go to heaven by the righteousness of Christ that's imputed within us at the new birth. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But in verse 15 he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. There it is. A free gift. A gift that comes to us from the Father of lights. A free gift. Not requiring anything on your part. No payment to be made to receive it. It's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. It's a free gift from God. The free gift to... For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much, and that's all that come forth from the seed of Adam are dead, except one person. That's Jesus Christ. Now, why wasn't Jesus Christ the same as us? He had a natural body just like you and I. But he took that body from Mary. He did not take that body from the seed of man. He was not of the seed of Adam. He was of the seed of God. This tells us in Matthew chapter 1 that God sent us His Son, His only begotten Son, and Jesus was that sin. And the reason He didn't have sin is because He was not of the seed of man, but He was of the seed of God. Fear not, Joseph, He says. Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife. When Joseph found out Mary was with child and it wasn't his, he knew it wasn't his. But the angel appeared to him, said, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost." Because he's of the Holy Ghost and not of the seed of man, he had a perfect body to sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Yes, indeed. But not as the offense, so also is the gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And I've preached this from this particular portion of scriptures before, probably right here to you, that describes those that are of Christ. The first one says more concerning Adam, that many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And then he says in verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, that is, all that are from Adam, condemned to death. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which, and this is the key in the 17th verse to tell you who it is that is saved. Not all. Some people take this and say, that means all are saved. There is no hell. Everybody's going to heaven. But you have to read this 17th verse and get what it says here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, all that are from Adam and in Adam die. He said, but they which receive, now that's the key, they which receive, and this not talking about something they did to get it, this is something they receive from God the Father as a free gift. A free gift from the God, the Father of lights. If they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And that all men that received for justification of life is not the same as the all men that were judged in Adam. All that are judged in Adam is because they're from Adam. They're part of Adam. They have the Adam nature. The all men that receive the righteousness and the justification of life, they are the ones that have received, as it says here, they have received which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. The gift of God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. That's the gift of God. The grace of God itself. As it says in verse 16. But the free gift is to many offenses unto justification. The free gift. The gift of grace that comes to us by God Himself. Now we want to turn over here to another scripture here found in the book of Romans. Another free gift. Another gift a good gift, a perfect gift, a gift that comes from the Father of lights. And that's the gift of eternal life. We'll find that in the book of Romans also. And it says here, beginning at verse 17, but God be thanked that ye which were servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart and from the doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded yourselves servants to unrighteousness and to iniquity and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit hath ye then in those things wherein ye are now shamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And then in verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. So we receive death and sin because of sin in our life, and its wages because we earn it, because we are sinners by nature. But the gift of God is, and that's one of these perfect, good and perfect gifts that cometh down from the God of the Father of lights, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we have the free gift of eternal life which came down to us from God the Father. Yes, indeed, these are wonderful truths and wonderful scriptures that tell us about these free gifts that we receive from the God the Father of lights. We'll find here in the book of 2 Corinthians where he describes these gifts that come down to us from God as unspeakable gifts. Gifts that are so great. Gifts that are so good. Gifts that are so perfect that they have to be described as unspeakable gifts. And so he describes this in the 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. And we'll begin there at verse 13. Says, for by the experiment of the ministration they glorify God, for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for your exceeding grace of God to you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Describing the gifts that come to us from God. Unspeakable. We can hardly even think and imagine how God could do it. How he could sacrifice his only begotten Son in behalf of poor sinners such as we are. It is indeed an unspeakable gift. Now, we want to go over the last thing that is a good gift, a perfect gift, a gift that comes from the God, the Father of lights, unto us his children. And that is the gift of faith. Now, faith is an unusual subject in that it's a gift from God. And we don't have faith that's of ourselves. The dead sinner, the alien sinner, does not conjure up in himself faith in God that God will grant him life. No, he has to be given that faith so that he can exercise himself in it. So faith is described as a gift of God. And so we'll find that here in the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." What that not of yourselves? That faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes. The perfect, the good and the perfect gifts of God. Going back now to our text and reading it. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, that cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yes, indeed, the gifts. The good gifts that come to us from God. We saw this morning the first gift was the gift of his only begotten Son, which he gave on Calvary for our behalf. The next gift was the gift of living water that he promised to the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. Yes, Jesus has given to us living water that comes to us from God the Father. It's a free gift. It's a gift that comes to us from him. It's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. It's a gift that we need to get by in this world. And then the gift of grace. Yes, the fact that God loved us and bestowed upon us, undeserving creatures, his grace and his mercy toward us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We saw the scripture that said he gave us eternal life. Yes, and we can also see in the book of Titus where it says, we are in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world was. Yes, the gift of eternal life, one of those good gifts, those perfect gifts that come to us from God. And then we saw the scripture that said that all his good gifts and perfect gifts, they're unspeakable gifts. And then the final thing we looked at this morning, that good and perfect gift, the gift of faith. God has given us faith when he regenerates us and gives us eternal life. And then whenever we have that faith, we bear the fruits of the Spirit, because in Galatians we'll find that faith is mentioned as one of the ninefold fruits of the Spirit. And you can't have the fruit of anything unless you have the tree that produces that fruit. And if you have faith, you've got to have that life that God has given you to bear the faith that's a fruit of the Spirit. Yes, these are the nine, these are the things that we've looked at this morning. Good gifts, perfect gifts, gifts that come down to us from the Father of lights. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep each and every one of you, is my prayer.